Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Chris and Carol, your daughters are all married. We welcome you back to First Assembly of God in Bedford, Indiana. Come on up here and...
Good morning, everyone. So good to be back here in Bedford. Love it, love it, love it. Just want to say, yes, my two daughters are married. Praise God. All three. Two in the month of August, 2 weeks apart. And so we weren't sure we would even get back here in time, been on shutdown. And we came back on a repatriation flight. And just in time, 2 weeks before the weddings, and then had to get a lot of stuff done. And one daughter, Sarah, was married in Illinois. I'm sorry, we don't have any pictures. We are not very good parents, and we have not gotten our act together yet to have any pictures. And Becca, the middle one, weddings are so different now. I mean, one, you got to feed everybody, and you got to have a gift to get people to come to your wedding, give them a gift to go back. And then Becca was trying to be, like, super frugal, and she didn't want cake. I had to do apple pies for her. So just lots of work. Weddings are hard now. When we got married, it was nothing. You just have little appetizers. Everybody goes home. Now you have to have it. Music and food and dancing. So anyway, so glad that is done and over with. Heather, Terry came and helped, and Kay, and some other people from the area. So it was just really nice. So anyway, just want to say good to be here. I won't take a lot of time. I had actually written down some things to share, but it's kind of long-winded, and I won't. But I will say one thing.
I'll share.
I don't know if how y'all feel about everything that's going on. There's lots of anxiety, I think. Maybe you've even felt a little bit angry. I had an anger issue this week. I'll just confess it. And so I'm going to help. I have a tendency to get angry anyway. But I think during this corona time, our expectations are different or higher, and we're just easily set off, as you can see, with all the stuff going on. You're not wearing a mask. You are wearing a mask. Political issues, just family issues, all sorts of things. If you know of our ministry, we have tote bags that we have made by a couple different churches. This one was in Wisconsin. And if you've seen any of our ministry, we fill them up with supplies, and we give them out to all the different families in the church and around the community at Christmas time. So this church makes these totes. A group of older women make them every year for me, and they ship the totes to Georgia. The totes never arrived. And I was just brokenhearted because, one, these ladies have worked so hard, and I won't tell you who I was calling. The shipper was calling, trying to get this issue straightened out. And I won't go on because it is a long story. So, but anyway, to no results. And they just weren't really seeing how important this was to us. These are made by sweet ladies. And after many emails and no response, we were at a hotel. And I decide, as we're fixing to leave the hotel, that I'm going to deal with this issue. So I get out my computer, and I'm going to talk to a supervisor. So I get on the phone, and this guy's talking to me, and he wasn't sufficient. So we get a supervisor. I don't think this woman was a supervisor, but whatever. So she basically told me, okay, we're done. A claim has been filed, and we're not helping you, and you're not going to find these bags. And we're finished. And I'm like, no, we're not. And then it's like a switch flipped. And I lost it. And Chris says I was threatening to put it on the news. I mean, I was going to call my lawyer. And I had kind of forgotten that part because I was going. And I hung up you can't really hang up a phone anymore. I hung up and I threw my phone down. And Chris is like, wow, what is going on here? So Chris When you're married to someone in the ministry, immediately he turns to prayer. Had I even thought about prayer? No, I hadn't even thought about it at this stage. But Chris is like, let's pray. Okay, it took halfway through the prayer for me to even be hearing what he was saying, because I was in tears by now. I was on a rant. So Chris prayed. And then you know when you're married to someone in the ministry, after the prayer, eventually you're going to hear the mini sermon. But yeah. So in the car, I get to hear the mini sermon on how to control your anger, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I speak that to you today because I'm sure I am not the only one.
You're the only one.
Ever, maybe I am. That has lost something. But maybe during this time, things have touched you. And, you know, when we get angry, we often do things that we will regret later, because immediately I'm thinking, ooh, I hope that line wasn't recorded. And so, because I'm going to pursue this further. I'm not done yet, but I don't want a bad history behind me, or they don't want to help me because I was ugly, but whatever. So anyway, I just speak that because sometimes when we're angry, we say and do things that we regret. Sometimes we might handle it. You know, we might even do something that's going to harm our life for the rest of our lives, because we have to learn to rein it in. That anger is a normal emotion, but we've got to control it. And so, me too. Obviously, this is probably more for me than... Anyway, so I just speak that to you, because during this time, there's lots of things going on that are going to frustrate us. And so, you might be feeling anxiety, but just don't make the mistake to do something that's going to... you're going to hurt your family or hurt others that you're going to regret the rest of your life. So there are, I'm just going to read a scripture really quickly. There's tons of scriptures in Proverbs on anger. And then also the second point is to rein in your anger, to read over those scriptures, and secondly, to pray. Sometimes we forget to pray about the things that are really going to affect us. And I'm in ministry every day. I should remember to pray, but we let our anger take over and we don't think to do that when we should. So just real quickly, if you become angry, do not let your anger lead you to sin.
Amen.
Can't read without my glasses. Do not stay angry all day. People with a hot temper do foolish things. Wiser people remain calm. I try to remember that all the time. Don't let evil get the best of you. Conquer evil by doing good. And then also rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Romans 12:12. So during these times, I know my tote bag issue is very small compared to maybe what you're going through. But just try to remember to focus on God and not that. Look at the big picture, not the little picture.
Amen. Amen. Don't worry, you're going to hear the rest of the story. It's in my sermon, so praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to be here. We always love being back in Bedford and back with you guys. It's a real honor. In fact, you know, this year with all the things going on, I called Pastor and I said, you know, I'm going to be in town, but, if you can't give us a church service, we understand. I mean, it's a tough time. No, come. So thank you so much, Pastor, for having us and welcoming us and allowing us to have the service, and so we really appreciate it, and it's good to be with you. He said service ends at about 1:45, and I said, that's 1:45. he said, no, nobody will be here at 1:45. So we'll try and go quick, but let me first just share, update you about us and our ministry and what we're doing, and Carol updated you about our family. All the girls are married, so praise the Lord for that. You know, you're not done parenting no matter how old they are till they get married and get jobs and get out on their own. Amen. So we're so thankful. We're going to be so prosperous in the years ahead until grandbabies come, right? But at any rate, so if you can go to the next slide, our opening scripture. Would you stand with me and let's read the opening scripture? John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Therefore, Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? Verse 6, this he was saying to test him, for he himself, that is Jesus himself, knew what he was intending to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. God, as difficult as the season is in, we are in, Lord, I pray you would help us all just to thrive in the midst of the difficulty. And that, Lord, we would be a bright light for you, and we would be a great witness in this difficult season. Lord, we pray you would strengthen the church and strengthen each one that is here today with the preaching of your word. So we pray you open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. You can go to the next slide. Title of our message today is Pass the Test. Pass the Test. How many of you like taking tests? Nobody. Kara, why is your hand not up? You are one of the rare sickos that actually likes to take tests. Anybody else? No? A few back here. But if you know, like, all the answers, how many of you like to take a test? Yeah, right? If we know it. And so we don't want to just pass the test. Whoa. We want to pass the test with an A+. Amen? We want to knock it out of the park. We want to nail it. We want to succeed. And when I say pass the test, I'm talking about life test in our walk with the Lord. Amen? Not a test at school, not a test at work, but a test in life. And we're facing tests all the time. And when you become a Christian, you have signed up for a life of testing. Say amen or oh me. You have signed up for a lifetime of testing that nearly every event in or around your life is actually a test from the Lord. And so how do you deal with that? And so, you know, bad news tests are hard. Bad news tests often include suffering, difficulty, crisis, things not going the way we want them to go. Amen? How many of you get your feathers ruffled when a package maybe isn't delivered on time? Huh? You promised me 2 days, Amazon. Where is it? Right? No, it was UPS and it was 2 weeks later or something. But anyway. Hey, I'm talking to them, lady. Tone it down on the front row. All right. But bad news is the tests are hard, right? We all say, oh, yeah, if I know all the answers, the problem is we do know the answer, but the answer's hard, right? It's hard because life tests, it's not just check a box. The good news is because the way we mature as a Christian, amen? The way we mature, the way we go to the next level in our walk with Jesus is through testing. How many of you want to mature? How many of you want to go to the next level with the Lord and with life? Hallelujah. You see, I don't want to stay where I'm at. Pastor, I'm glad you're retired. You know what? Retirement's a test. Yeah. Are you just going to retire and kick back, or are you going to go to the next level? You're failing the test, brother. You got to go to the next level. You don't retire, you refire. Amen? God's got something for you. It wasn't what was in the previous season, but God's in this season, and he's in your next season, and he wants you to succeed in the next season. But it's a test. Are you going to kick back? Are you going to take it easy? And so the good news is when we pass the test, we can move on to the next level. The other good news is when we fail the test, God is so gracious, he just lets us take it again. He doesn't just give you a big fat F and say, it's over. You get to do it again. So you can expect another late package. Amen? Hallelujah. This is going to be a test for you. This sermon is going to be a test. Whoa. And the drive home is going to be a test for me. Amen? All right. So in John chapter 6, I'm preaching a series through John. We're preaching on a series, The Seven Signs of John. And so last Sunday, I was on the feeding of 5,000, which is in John chapter 6. And when I hit this verse 6:6, it just blew me away that Jesus goes and asks his disciples, hey, there's a big crowd coming over the mountain. They don't have any food. We should give them something to eat. They're coming to see us. What should we do? And it just flat out says, he said this to test him. He already knew what he was going to do. He already had the plan figured out. Hallelujah. So we call it the feeding of the 5,000, but you know the scripture actually says there was 5,000 men, which means there was probably somewhere between 15,000 to 20,000 people. How are you going to feed 15,000 to 20,000 people? And so Jesus had snuck away to have some time with his disciples, but the crowd was following. The crowd found him, and now the crowd's coming over the hill. One thing we can see by this test is that Jesus didn't create the test. Amen? He didn't create the situation. The people were just following. So when bad things happen in our lives, we don't need to look like, why, Lord? Why'd you do this to me? There's a million reasons. But to think that the Lord created it's probably not the best place to go with your mind, but that you're under a test. And how are you going to handle it? So he didn't create the situation, but he used the situation. So when situations arise in or around your life, the Lord is using that to look at you specifically, and how will you respond? How will you behave under this new environment? And if you behave properly, guess what? Promotion. Where's promotion come from? Promotion comes from the Lord. He raises one up, he puts one down. So you don't want to fail the test, you don't want to be put down. Amen? So let's go to the next slide. Let's look at that scripture again. So when Jesus sees him, he's like, oh, this is a good opportunity. I'm going to test these guys. Jesus lifting up his eyes, seeing a large crowd, 15,000 people coming over a hill. He says to Philip, hey, where are we going to buy food to feed all these people? He was saying this to test him. He himself already knowing what he's going to do. Wow. If you already know, Jesus, why are you testing me? Amen? Why are you putting me through it? Why are you stressing me? Why are you asking me, how should I feed 15,000 people? Well, again, the Lord wants you to grow. God's going to allow difficult, uncomfortable, unsolvable situations to arise in your life so that you learn to grow in the Lord. Amen? So that you learn how to have faith, how to trust God, how to rise above the situation, how to live like a Christian even when things don't go your way. So sometimes we fail the test, we fail to do this in our lives. My experience has been sometimes when a problem arises, an unsolvable situation, you can't figure it out, you can't fix it, it's out of your power, you have a tendency to get angry. But we also, during that time, maybe we'll throw prayer in there, but prayer's just one thing. Then we're scheming, we're figuring out, we're trying to do this, we're trying to do that. And then somehow this unsolvable problem gets solved, and then what do we have the tendency to do? Oh, I did it. I took care of that problem myself. The Lord. We got to learn to turn to the Lord. You know, so after we prayed, Carol came across some emails. The story's actually later in my sermon, but it just seems appropriate now. And she found the CEO of UPS. And so she emailed him and a bunch of other people, and all of a sudden she started getting some response, right? So when they found the bag, she said, yeah, I'm going to write that first girl back and tell her I went all the way to the top. I said, yeah, you tell her I went all the way to Jesus. I went all the way to the top. Amen? Now, was it her email? Was it the prayer? You know, I think it was all. Amen? But we got to learn to say the top ain't the CEO, right? We know people in high places, amen? That we go to the top. We go to Jesus. He's the one. So listen, we fail the test because not only do we not go to Jesus, and not only do we not rest with Jesus, but we do all this other stuff, and then when the problem's solved, we don't even praise the Lord. We just go, oh, look what I did. Well, Jesus is testing you. He's testing you all the time, every day. I guarantee you're under a test today. How are you going to talk about the pastor during lunch? Amen? Poke your neighbor right now and say, you're being tested. Amen. Oh, are you allowed to poke? If you're not, just point. You're being tested. That was a test. That was a test. I hugged people today. I failed the test. I'm sorry. But, yeah. So, at any rate, we are under a test. So, Oh, here's the story of the missing suitcase. So you've already heard the story. We can skip that part. But we got to give God not only our problems, but also all the praise. Amen? Hey, I love coming in and praising the Lord. You know, we didn't have church for so long. And I want to tell you, and if people are watching online, I want to tell you there's something different when you come to church. Amen? I mean, I'm glad. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's not in your house or your bedroom or wherever you're watching from, but it's just not the same. There's something, we come together as the body of Christ and we raise our hands and raise our voices and give glory to God. Amen? And so if you're watching, if you can't come to church for whatever reasons, we understand. But if you can come to church, I encourage you to come to church. I mean, it's just nice to be with the people of God. Hallelujah. So it's a real joy to me to be together. Well, let's talk about how do we pass the test. All right, we're under test constantly. How do we pass those tests? Well, it's not about the situation. It's not about the battle. It's about our heart. Amen? Sometimes when we're under a test, we think the objective is to get what I want. Somebody say amen. That's not the objective. If that's your objective, you've already failed the test. The objective is, how is your heart if it goes the way you want? And how is your heart if it doesn't go the way you want? Amen? That's the objective. Are you going to walk with Jesus? If you got your Bibles, or we got it up on the screen, James 1, verses 2 through 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So first part of the test is, oh, this is a test, and I'm going to get an A+. Amen? Count it all joy. Hallelujah. My bag didn't arrive. We're going to pick on you all day. Hallelujah. It's an opportunity to show the glory and grace of God on my life. Hallelujah. Okay, I better stop. We might lose the whole congregation. And I might lose a wife. I don't know. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or maturity, helps you grow up in Jesus. Let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect, complete, mature, lacking nothing. How would you like to lack nothing? Lacking nothing doesn't have anything to do with how much is in your bank account. Amen? It has to do with your heart. You don't lack anything because God is your King. God is your Father. Jesus is your brother. What problems could you have? Man, I'm taking it to the top. Not getting any results, I'm going to take it to the top. You can go to the next slide. Our Christianity is only real when we're in crisis. You see, you want to know, I mean, you might be super faithful in church and tither and, you know, just good general person, and you might have a good knowledge of the Bible and love Jesus, but when a crisis comes, how do you behave? That's the measure of your Christianity. Thank you for the one amen back there. That's the measure. So in crisis, if you are just failing, there's where you need to mature. So next time, let's go back to James. Go back that slide. Next time a test arrives, number one, let's count it all joy. Amen? Hey, here's an opportunity. I'm not going to blow up this time. I'm not going to lose it this time. I'm going to keep it together. So that, what's that second line there? Knowing that testing of your faith produces endurance, maturity, so that you lack nothing. All right, hallelujah. If in crisis we act like the rest of the world, we are acting like we have no hope. And our hope is not in the situation. Our hope is in the Lord. Amen? And what is hope? Hope is the belief that it's going to be better. Amen? If you live in hope, you're not really worried about COVID-19 or November or all the bad news, because if you walk with Jesus, no matter what happens in this world, it's going to be better. Amen? Even if all falls apart, because that just means we're just that much closer to Jesus coming to get us. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to the next slide, I think, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, in times of crisis. Therefore, we will not fear. Hallelujah. Let's read that together. Let's start at the top. Read it with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Thank you. Somebody say hallelujah. Wow. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear COVID-19, November, riots, whatever. We don't walk in that world. Amen. We are different people of a different world. And this is a time for us to shine. People ought to be looking at us like we're crazy. Why are you so happy the world's falling apart? Well, I'm not of this world. I walk with Jesus. I'm a citizen of another kingdom. Now listen, I'm a patriot. I'm an American. I'm a veteran. I believe, in good things for America. But above that, I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I'm a child of Almighty God. If the earth, what's that say? If the earth be removed, if the mountains fall into the sea, it's okay. Hallelujah. Go to the next slide. It's 1 Peter 3:15. The book of 1 Peter is written to Christians facing suffering, and they were facing real suffering. They were being executed. They were being tortured. They were being set on fire, alive. Just horrible, horrible time when Peter wrote this to the church. And he said this, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." He says, so when they're arresting Christians and they're setting them on fire in the streets and you just walk around with a smile on your face, I'm a follower of Jesus. And people say, what is wrong with you? You say, well, I'm not of this world. If they set me on fire, I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to see my King. Amen? So we have hope. Tomorrow's going to be better even in the worst of situation. And so we have to have this hope in our lives. I saw my mom yesterday. And our day before yesterday, I think it was, and she said, what else can go wrong? Yeah, everything. Amen. You know, we're kind of funny. There's been a lot wrong with 2020. You're preaching my sermon back there, sister. But there's a lot right. Look around the room at all these people love Jesus. Amen. Following the Lord, living out your lives, figuring out what God has for you, figuring out retirement. Amen? Hallelujah. I had a preacher friend one time. He said he was driving his car one day, got a flat tire. Bup, 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 bup. He said he got out, walked around, and he said, hallelujah! Three of them stood up. Praise the Lord. A little ridiculous, but maybe an example of how we should behave. Amen? What's right going on? What good is going on in your life? So when we have a test, you can go to the next slide, our title slide there. When we're in a test, what to do? And I'll move quick. I know we're out of time. But I want to give you some action points. You know, when you come to church, you should walk away feeling like, man, I need to take action. I need to do something. You should always ask that question, not just was it a good sermon, but what did I get out of it? What do I do with it? How do I apply this to my life? So real quick, four things. Number one, realize God didn't create the test. Don't blame him. Don't get into a pity party. Why? Why am I going through this? Why am I sick? Why did I lose my job? Why is it? The why doesn't matter. It doesn't change the situation. Amen? So move past that. So don't get in the blame game. Don't be like, God, why'd you do this to me? Just make it real clear to you, God's a good God. Amen? He reigns on the just and the unjust. And some other newsflash, the devil is a bad devil. So if you want to do the blame game, if it's bad, came from the devil. If it's good, it came from Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's not get into a blame game. God, why'd you do this to me? Number two, do not calculate. In John chapter 6, verse 7, Philip said to Jesus, when he said, how are we going to feed all these people? He said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient to feed them all for all to receive a little. So I believe what Philip had done here was he calculated. He looked into the bag. He went over to Judas. Judas, how much money we got? Oh, man, we got 200 denarii. That's 200 days' wages. We got 200. Man, if we spend the whole thing, we can't feed the crowd. He tried to calculate it. He tried to fix it himself and calculate it. Don't try and calculate. We're so common to do that. How much money's in the bank? Well, I could borrow from my dad, my mom, you know. Hey, my friend's got this or that. And you're trying to calculate. And you're trying to figure out, how do I solve this problem? But I want to tell you, every time I went through one of these miracles that Jesus did in John, John is showing us that Jesus is master over several things. And in this one, he's showing us Jesus is master over statistical impossibilities. So if you have a statistical impossibility arise in your life, know that Jesus is already master over that statistical impossibility. So number one, don't blame God. Don't ask why. Don't try and figure it out from that end. Number two, don't calculate what it takes to solve the problem. Jesus already, remember the scripture? He already knew what he was going to do. He already knows what it takes. Number three, endure. In 2 Timothy, he said, you therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We all go through hard times. Sometimes you just got to buck up and suffer. Amen? Sometimes you just got to say, this is a tough time, but I'm going to get through it because I'm getting through it with Jesus. Amen? The Christian message isn't follow Jesus and everything will go well. It's follow Jesus and Jesus will walk with you through the good times and the bad times. Amen? It's just like when you get married, you don't say for better or for worse. Okay, for better. No, it's for better or worse. Amen? You hang in through the tough times, the good times, the bad times, all of it together, and that's the way it is with Jesus. We used to sing an old song in church. It said, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory will be mine. Hallelujah. So, last one, number four, do not doubt what God can do. Do not doubt what God can do. John chapter 8, I think we've got a slide up, verses, or John 6, 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said then, hey, there's a lad here, and he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And look at the last line, but what are these for so many? You see, sometimes you just need to hold your peace. Amen? I think Andrew here got a C for passing the test. He had some hope. Hey, here's a lad. He's got 2 fish and 5 loaves. But then he lost his faith. Oh, what's that with so many? If he would have just shut up, he'd have got an A+. Amen? 5,000 people. Jesus, here's 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. What are you going to do, Jesus? If he'd have just shut up. Sometimes we need to just shut up. Amen? Sometimes we talk too much. Even in prayer, we talk too much. Give God your problem. Hold your peace. Let him be God. You know, sometimes I try not to figure it out. Because I just wonder that sometimes if we figure it out, like, God, you could do this. He's like, oh, I was going to do that. Now I got to scratch it off my list and come up with something else. Amen? So let God be God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sorry we're over time. If you can hang with me for just a couple more minutes, I think this is important. If you pass the test, reward's coming. This is the good news. Amen? Go to the next slide. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed. How many want to be blessed? Your lives blessed. Your family blessed. Everything your hand touches is blessed. Blessed is the man or woman, the person who perseveres under trial, who passes the test. For once he has been approved, once he's gotten the A+, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Next slide. Next slide, if you would, Galatians. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Amen? This is the season for that word right there. Coronavirus season. Let us not be weary in well-doing during coronavirus. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You know, I read that verse. I just had this sense that 2021 is going to be a due season. Amen? Is it a due season for everyone? No, it's a due season for those who do not faint. Don't grow weary of well-doing. You know what Pastor just said to you? He said, hey, next week, bring a bunch of food. You should have so much food that Pastor goes, what the heck did you guys do? What am I going to do with all this? Amen? Don't be weary in well-doing. Oh, can I say heck in church? I'm sorry. Don't be weary in well-doing. Do all you can do. Go beyond. Hallelujah. When we see the battle, we see the problem. The Lord sees the victory. John 6:6. He already knew what he was going to do. We're going to close. The worship team's coming. And if you got kids and you need to scoot out, or you're just sick of me, you can scoot out. But the worship team's coming. We're going to just close in prayer real quick. But we're all in this test of the COVID season. And I want to remind you of John chapter 6. When he said to his disciples, wow, look at the crowd coming over the mountain. We ought to give them something to eat. And the disciples went into panic mode. Man, how are we going to do that? How are we feeding 15,000 people? Then it says, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. COVID's here. What are we going to do? Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Don't worry about it. Jesus knows what he's going to do. You just follow Jesus. You do what you're supposed to do. Amen? And so as we close today, in addition to COVID, we're all in the COVID test, but maybe you're in another test. There's another test going on in your life simultaneously. I was talking to some old guys back before coming in. They're facing the old man test. And from talking to them, they're failing. Pastor, he fell off a ladder this week. Pastor Dodd, if you got gray hair, don't get on a ladder. Amen? You see what happens for us old guys? We think, I'm not old, I can still do that. No, you're failing the old man test. Say, I'm old, I got no business doing that. I'm going to pay somebody. You go do that work for me, amen? So what test are you in? You in the old man test? You going through a sickness? You going through a trial? You going through some emotional stress? Going through a loss in your life? All those are tests. Remember, number one, don't blame the Lord, but give it to the Lord.